the record reflect, it is 8:58 p.m., and we're all back. And for the record, Steve Jalowick has recused himself from the meeting, so we let him go home early. So we'll move on to item number 11A, discussion and possible action application for a zone text change, section 195-16A, to create the Derby Development District zone by THC LLC. I mean, I don't know, where do I begin? It's deliberation time. We've heard a lot from the public, and I have pages and pages of notes from the public about their concerns about expansion of this property. Fortunately, if we do nothing, absolutely nothing, we deny them, life goes on. Today's Tuesday, come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the residents will have the absolute same concerns that they've had since the growth of this business, and absolutely nothing changes. What the last application we just heard for the Center Design District in a PDD zone, they brought up a couple of things that I want to share, and I think everybody heard it. Having a PDD zone isn't a right to build, expand, or do anything. It's just a conduit for any applicant to come before the commission. I reviewed this, the proposed regulation text change with the DDZ zone a couple of times, even with the changes that were submitted last month. And one of the things that aren't here that I would make an absolute positive, and it has to be there, is something like that would come before us. It would have to be in a special exception format and a public hearing. Because if this commission were to venture down that path for an application and to approve a zone text change, which will allow that applicant or somebody else in this town where that fits to come before the commission, I would want, okay, there are concerns that the public has had, a lot of them, okay? From parking to noise and so on. So I'd like to address that in a public forum and a special exception type forum. So that's something, if we go down the path, I'd like modified in this type of regulation. And I'd also like for our planner to take a look at where else in the town we can apply this type of PDD zone. Because we did mention in the application before us in the south side of Main Street, particularly the last zone text change we approved, did not cover the north side of Main Street for specific reasons that the applicant stated. Well, maybe there are parcels in the north side of Main Street that we would like to incorporate in another PDD type regulation. There's also another piece of property in town, the old Birmingham convalescent home, that is now closed and is sitting there, and it's sitting in a P zone. Okay, what can we put in a P zone? I mean, things are limited as to what we can attract somebody to renovate and modify that building, like was done at the old Marshall Lane Manor nursing home. So that's something that's left out of the regulation before us, or was submitted to before us. I know there's talks about the VARCA training facility, whether the city's going to take that on, but maybe there's something the city wants to do it other than that. There might be a conduit there to attract a developer to that piece of property. I don't think, I'm torn here, because this doesn't cover enough that was submitted to us, and I want it to cover more, so my gut says, well, just deny it and, you know, let's see if something else comes back before us, or do we submit ourselves a plan, another PDD zone that would incorporate that property and some others in town. And the other side of me says, well, I would hate to waste the public's time in coming out before us, the engineering time we spent and the legal time we spent on this application to get this far. Always through this, keeping in the back of my head that we have neighbors that have concerns. And I wanted them to understand that their concerns cannot be addressed, because it's a legal non-conforming use, in any other manner besides a planned development type district. It can't go before Zoning Board of Appeals, which has been bantered about. I heard that quite a few times, because in order to go before Zoning Board of Appeals, and correct me if I'm wrong, you need to present a hardship. Expanding your parking to satisfy concerns of residents is not a hardship. It's not a, it's not something that you can take before the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Or decreasing a nonconformity.
Right. That's increasing a nonconformity. So they're stuck the way they are. I don't think in anybody's wildest dream they expect the business to be as successful as it was in such a short period of time. So now we're stuck with, okay, we have a business. We welcomed it into town. It took a minimally used property and generated life back into it. It brings people from out of town into town, which is what we want. And in that area, the shopping center is becoming renovated. Big Y is coming in, and there's a whole bunch of other stores that will come too. So you hope that people would patronize those businesses that are opening up into Derby. So, you know, this is a tough one. Probably one of the toughest applications that I've had come before me in 20 years. What do you do? How do you help the residents? And that's our planning hat. And it was also brought up in the public hearing that this commission didn't have a right, or it's not their job to try to solve some of the problems or the issues that the neighbors had. But it is our job. On the zoning side of it, we legislate our zoning regulations. We dot the I's, we cross the T's. It's pretty much black and white. But on the planning hat, which we also wear, is, okay, we have this before us. How can we make it better for the neighbors and take this type of overlay zone or zone text change and use it in other areas of town? I think it's something we need to look into deeper. I think we can address with our planner from Malone and McBroom. It's Vince tonight, which it's usually Ryan, just to dig into this any deeper if there's something we can do to use it in other areas of town and also protect our neighbors. Because I know that the way it stands now, we can't do anything. We can't just add, and correct me if I'm wrong, one parking spot. We just can't expand the non-conforming at all.
Right.
Okay. Now, at the point in time that the applicant comes before us and says, I would like to knock down a few buildings and build one building, okay, how big is that building? How many parking spaces do we get additional? We would like to create an expanded buffer zone to protect the residents all around Marshall Lane and Sodom Lane. We have foot traffic, which I heard in the public hearing, that goes from an upper parking lot to a lower parking lot. We want no foot traffic. We want, you know, we would want a way to generate, to direct that traffic, that foot traffic, from an upper parking lot to a lower parking lot. We don't want them on the street. We can go back to them, and that's a negotiating time in a public portion, I would like it to be, which is not currently, to say, hey, look, you want this. Well, we want this to protect the neighborhood. If they balk or they don't want to do that, then guess what? Then you could continue to run just the way you are. You're not going to get any expansion or combination of buildings that you're doing now. But we're not going to get any protection for the neighbors. They currently have weddings and tents, I believe, in the backyard. So noise became an issue. It was brought up in the public hearing. Well, if they want a building, then we can limit the building, the noise, and the DJ or the band or whatever they're having inside the building with no tents. So they can't have both. They can't have a building and a tent in a yard that they have in the back, so they can have the best of both worlds. No, you can't. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara or Vince, we have those negotiating tools if we have a conduit for them to come before us. If we don't like what's presented or they're not willing to play, then you know what? They don't get what they want either. But if we leave it the way it is, right?
Yes, it's the discretion of the commission. It's
the discretion of the commission at that point in time. So I'm trying to help the neighbors because, I have pages of comments, and I went through it time and time again. And again, a couple of things stuck out. The one thing was the public hearing has to be a must because something like this should be addressed in public. And the public should be, since they brought a bunch of concerns before this commission, they should be satisfied in what they're getting in return for whatever they want to present to us. Okay, ownership. That did come out, and I'll ask this question. A PDD zone, and I'll ask this to Vince or Barbara. If, say, a PDD zone was applied at this location, because, again, they were the applicants. We negotiated, we granted them. They did what they did. What happens in a change of ownership? Yeah. If they sell their business, what happens to that PDD approval? Does it stay as a PDD approval the way it is?
It runs with the land.
Yeah,
it runs with it as is, though, as negotiated. There's
right.
no, I'm going to come in and change
come
anything.
Back is would then have to come back with a site plan that conforms
special
to
here.
That master plan.
Okay.
Or right. come in with a new master plan, then you're going to have to start the process from the very beginning again. If they want a major modification.
Yeah. So.
Because that was also a concern brought up by the public.
No.
Okay.
Zone changes, all zoning decisions, site plan and otherwise, run with the property. When, for example, let's come back to the special exception, which is not the discussion, but when you
right.
approve a special exception, the notice of that, constructive notice, is placed on the land records. That
Correct.
It runs with the land.
Right.
Cannot be taken away. It doesn't allow. Now, this is always the problem with, in my judgment, even with the discussion we had earlier for the downtown project. Somebody can abandon the project, or they're not obligated to build. So
right.
if you approved a planned development district, take this off the table for the moment.
Okay.
Up on the hill. And you approve it, and the person says, you know, I've changed my mind. They can still operate that facility, a facility, in the same manner as they are today. So,
right.
so just because you approve it, the approval runs with the property, its implementation runs with the property.
Okay.
But right. nobody is obligated to proceed with the project. It can get abandoned.
Right. And then yeah. they exit.
But if it's after 2 years, then it's going to revert.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
so.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So let's go. Let's
okay. Move. Okay. Wait a minute. No. Okay. You brought this up. So, if there's approval, and these are all hypothetical because these are questions and concerns by this commission and the public. So I just want to. I want. This is deliberation time. So I want to ask these questions. I don't want to miss anything. So if an applicant comes before us, we grant them.
Grant them what?
An approval. They don't. They abandon the approval. They just don't build it.
Okay.
Now, what I'm saying is,
PDD,
right?
Just as Chris Smith pointed out, there's a reverter.
Right. That's what I was getting to.
So, if on a PDD, you approve the change, and you approve the master plan, and it's a two-step process, and they choose not to move forward within right. the time prescribed, whether it's 1 year or 2 years or whatever, it reverts. Goes back to where it is today.
Okay. The reason why I asked that question is, again, in the public hearing, the applicant, okay, stated for the record that the person gives up the right of the existing non-conforming once they go forward with the PDD.
Once they implement the PDD.
Okay. Implemented. Not if they're approved.
There's no obligation.
There's no obligation until they implement it. Is what you're saying. Okay.
Barbara, you agree with that?
These are, again, these are just a whole bunch of questions I have, so.
I think
that's right.
To be correct,
so that's
because it's a content, but I'm not 100% right. sure, but because you've changed the zone when you grant, right, you grant that first step, but it's still just a concept plan. So I don't know if you have a pre-existing non-conforming use. That's a special circumstance. So the question is, would you still be able to?
The new, the moment it becomes implemented.
We're talking about before implementation, though, right?
It's abandoned.
Right. No, I'm saying they come before us and they have a plan. We all negotiate. We agree. Boom. We give them an approval. At that point in time, the applicant who was representing the person for this DDD zone said he gives up their right as an existing non-conforming. So I'm just trying to get it
Well, that's an interesting, what strikes me as interesting about that is if that is part of the application with that representation, then I think then I think that is the case, that the nonconformity disappears.
Right. I don't know that that would generally be the rule, but I agree with Vince. If they're going to state that as part of their application process, and they're...
It was mentioned a couple of times because...
That concession, then...
It came out a couple of times.
Several times.
Right. So that's why I'm asking the question.
Part of that application. So here we are. Let's go through the process.
Okay.
If you were to adopt this proposed amendment to your text, then someone can apply to you. And as part of that application process, they're representing that they are willing to abandon the nonconformity as part of the discussion and part of the application, then I would agree that that goes away.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. No, again, because after all this, and you brought up a good point, and that's why I wanted to get your take on it. You said, look, if they get an approval and don't do anything, okay, so they abandon and they can continue moving the way they are. But if part of the application process and through the discussions we say, hey, look, you go through this and we negotiate and we grant this, you have to go through with this because, again, those are things that protect
Barbara, you may want
residents.
To take a look at that
in cases,
because that's not my... I'm the practical side of implementation
right.
of this stuff, but that might be... That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I would want to look into that because there's a vested right to continue a pre-existing non-conforming use unless you... You know, so I don't... The question is whether the commission could demand that.
Okay.
And I think the applicant would have to be willing to do it.
Outside of this, I'll point you to a case that you guys may have been involved in many years ago up in Woodbury. I think Ken Bernard was involved in the case. And the argument was being made that by making, it was a pre-existing non-conforming use, it was a gravel pit, and the guy wanted to reactivate it. And the commission said, the moment you go and reactivate that, you are now subject to you're subject to the new rules, you lose your non-conformity. Ask Ken Bernard about that. And it was,
you said it was Woodbury?
Woodbury Otto Kundert.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Otto Kundert. And Ken represented him at that time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
That is a Superior Court case, you think?
I don't know if it ever got that far, but I think it did. But Ken would know the argument.
Okay, I'll ask.
That's in the book I gave you, Barbara, in the last land use book.
Oh, okay.
That case is mentioned
in
there.
The Kundert case?
Yeah. And what he did to go back with it.
Okay. And Ken Bernard represented Kunder.
Okay.
I don't know, Carl Nielsen, you remember that case? I think that's right.
Yeah.
And so that was the case where, by virtue of the application approval, took away, the person then was consenting to the new regulation, so to speak.
Well, again, the first night of the public hearing, that's on my first page of notes during the application, you said, you know, time limits was one, which we pretty much covered even in Chris's last application for a PDD zone for the south side of Main Street. Also, the pre-existing non-conforming is abandoned. So I wrote it down, so I said, okay, this is key. I need to ask that question when we deliberate.
So I think that since this proposed regulation in its current form, if you're going forward with that regulation, we'd have to make sure that got in there.
This has holes, and that's why we're discussing it. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the last thing I would want is if we go down that path and we do have a public hearing and there's an applicant here and we agree to something and everybody walks out of the room not 100% happy, but semi-happy that concerns are going to be taken care of, and then the applicant says, I decided not to do it. Well, no. Okay, again, that's not something that this board wants to see happen. I know that.
You used to have bonding authority, but that doesn't apply any longer.
Yeah. Okay. changed. Okay, I'm trying to make sure I at least covered everything that I had written down. Okay, noise. We could take care of by putting stuff inside. Hold on, bear with me. One of the, and I'll ask this question, you know, because we are delivering. One of the things that was also brought up in the public a couple of times and pictures was, okay, after an event, and, you know, they go out, they walk up and down the street, whether it be Sodom or Marshall Lane, they find, whether it be beer cans or bottles or nips or whatever garbage strewn about. Now, we know that our fast food restaurants in Derby, if you go about there on a Sunday morning or whatever, I don't know if it's every day, but at least periodically they're out there and you see people picking up trash around their facility. Garbage bags, people throw out stuff the window. They're always cleaning up and policing their own property. Is that something that we can condition as part of the approval? But hey, you know, you're open from 3 to 11 or 3 to 1 the next day. This is a big concern. The public brought it up as a concern. They don't live in a garbage dump, okay? They want to wake up in the morning and go to work and find their property clean, okay? They don't want to drive through garbage, busted bottles, etc. Because it's not, believe me, it's not just traffic going by and saying, here's THC and throwing garbage out.
It's part of a special permit application, special exception. You can attach that as a condition.
Right.
And you can tie other enforcement activities.
Well, then if it's a condition, then it's enforceable by our zoning enforcement officer, our police department, etc. So I just want to make sure if this board goes down that path to protect the citizens and not leave any holes.
You can have any reasonable condition. Yeah.
I want to know if that's
it.
Reasonable.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
No, that's reasonable.
That's absolutely reasonable.
Let's try to focus not necessarily on this one property.
I'm not, but these are concerns from residents because I know that's what might come next. So I'm just trying to address everything I can.
And they are enforceable and they are reportable in terms of you can go even so far as having an inspection report filed the morning after with the zoning enforcement officer, all of those things.
Well they're supposedly to do with detention basins, et cetera. They're supposed to file periodic reports, inspections, et cetera. Can I do this with properties and something like this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about off-site fence?
Off-site, no problem. You can chase that. You can chase that. You know, if for example, an applicant, you're concerned about debris littering. Let's take it away from litter. Let's leave it into the area of noise. Let's leave it at litter for a minute. We've got litter on private property.
Carl, I really can't have you speak.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay. I appreciate your zealousness to jump in, right, but so, I really can't. So I didn't have the public and I.
Let's stick with the litter question.
Yeah.
You could write as a condition of approval on any application, whether it's for McDonald's or Burger King, if you were concerned about litter being tracked too far based on your observations of the incidents of history of the town, you could say that we want a daily log kept and that log has to be presented on the Monday following the Sunday, and you are responsible for checking in on property X, Y, and Z, and I want to see the report. And the zoning enforcement office has a record that they did what they were supposed to do.
Carly, you can comment because he's staff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can comment.
We can actually police it, but we would not be able to enter, and I think
that's what I'm suggesting.
It's private property trespassing, so you can only police that report.
But I believe that the facility from which the waste may be generated is able to go and pick up box or trash or whatever.
Okay.
And you can put that in as a condition.
As minimal as this may be and sound as I'm going through this list, my gut is if we can't make it better and enforce it and go down that path for the residents, then I don't want it. Okay, period. I don't want it. I'm trying to make sure that I don't leave anything out
that they came out.
So again, for 2 months they came out, they stood up, and they expressed their concerns. And I want to make sure valid concerns are addressed.
So, as part of, first of all, the process as outlined in this application, the establishment of the zone is a legislative matter. You have the discretion to say no,
right,
or to approve, and because it's tied to a site plan and special permit, you can then tie all those conditions that you feel comfortable identifying. You also can put, if somebody's really good in compliance, you can then say after a certain period of time, we will review whether or not those conditions still are required, and so on. Now, another approach is that you can, and this is done I've seen it done in a number of different settings. You can require certain parts of that to be reviewed on a periodic basis by the commission to make sure that you're comfortable that it's being enforced. Lots of different things you can do. But that's that would be have to be part of the original decision when you're adopting
this.
Yes.
So what we're talking
about. No, not when you're adopting this. When you're implementing.
When we implement it.
Right.
Okay.
But if you wanted something like that in there, making it clear that you've got the authority to do those things, and there is some representation in here, where did I catch it? There was something in here, I can't spot it, where the commission is entitled to. Oh, may consider other factors that it deems applicable.
No okay.
change request.
All right.
That gets you there, that might be what you may want to
okay. talk about. Different than the application we heard and approved before us, where we did take a bite of the apple because it's a vacant lot in the middle of the desert and there's an apple tree growing and there's one apple. So as a member of the public said, go take a bite of it. And we did because there's nothing there. Now we have something that is existing that there's issues with. So I want to make, again, this commission is deemed to make it better. And if we can't, okay, then we're not going to do it. But if we can, I want to at least get through everything the public had concerns about. Okay, because we're all neighbors. They might not think so at sometimes, but we're all neighbors and we all have to live in this town. Okay, so that's my concern. If we can make it better, then let's at least explore that path, because I don't feel that any decision is going to be made tonight because we brought up too many things already without even hearing from any of the other members to move forward to try to do something with this and address it. So that's why I'm asking these questions, because they did come up in a public hearing. I think I'm done for now. I'm giving myself a headache. So any other comments from any commission members? Did I miss something? Please.
I guess I'll start. Like you said, I have a tough time with this one. The business itself has grown far more than the guy ever expected or any of us when we passed it that night. It does take people from age 20 to 60 are there. It's a nice place for families to go and leave. As far as the neighbors' complaints from what we all heard, a lot of them we weren't aware of. At least I wasn't a lot aware of them. But in the retrospect of the whole thing, from day one, the applicant knew he was a non-conforming business in a residential zone. Going through with what we have here for the DD zone text change, I find it awful vague. We don't address, there's no address of parking, maximum lot use, coverage,
right,
building size, style, any of that that we've addressed in all our other zoning regulations.
Right.
We don't touch it at all. It's very vague.
Right.
I wasn't at this special meeting. I was on vacation. Going through it, I see different points that were brought up reading the minutes. This is for staff question. Is it true that this will apply if we pass it to any 2.5-acre parcel in the city of Derby?
Not the way I read it. I thought there were some qualifiers
You can't plop it in the middle of a residential zone, which you can't. It has to butting a commercial zone.
Right.
The eligibility that's stated, and I think you might want to go to your point, public water and public sewer, minimum size, I would add a few other qualifiers in there.
Yeah.
What about other special exemptions that we have, non-conforming businesses and residential uses? Are we going to be going through the same process again?
I think Ted's question to earlier that I didn't have an answer for, because I think it was something to do. Where else can this be applied and discuss that?
Right.
And so I think that it's fair for anyone in the city, when you're adopting a regulation, to know where this floating zone is capable of being applied.
That's what I asked.
Landing.
That came out in the first meeting, absolutely.
Right. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
You need to know, and once it's, if you were to adopt it, sort of giving constructive notice to people.
When we did 101 Marshall Lane, we did that with a zone text change.
Right.
Ryan came back before us with 7 properties that it affected in the city of Derby.
Right.
And it was all laid out so everyone knew. So that's, again, Rich, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's what we're driving at. What else does it affect?
Right.
Because there's properties we'd like it to affect, and there's properties we don't want it to affect.
Right.
And being in a residential zone, we don't want it to affect. Abutting zones, yes, but where are they? Okay. So that's a question.
I don't know the answer as I sit here, but I think that's the to-do for Ryan to discuss with you.
There's a big to-do list, but that's why we're...
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's why we're deliberating.
Going through, if we deny this, I'm positive. I'm going to answer my own question. The applicant has the right to go through the appeal process, correct? So we...
No.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
So.
But it is a legislative decision.
Could you repeat that question? It's very difficult to hear that completely.
Sure. I'm sorry. I said I was probably going to answer my own question. If we deny this, and the applicant has the right to go through the appeal process, meaning going before the zoning board of appeals, or
no.
If you want
to
court.
The process
go
is this.
Go to court.
Correct. They are entitled to take this to the Superior Court, but as I'm sitting here, and I think Barbara would concur, if you can deny this, because you don't like the color of it is the jib, because you have unbridled discretion in terms of on this legislative matter.
Right.
If you were to deny it and they took it to court, you win hands down.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nearly hands. I can say that as a non-lawyer. I can
99%. Let's
your
say.
Job. That's what he's trying to
do. I'll take 99% any day of the week.
That's all I have for now.
Good. Thank you. Any comments from anybody else?
Don't worry about
Al.
It.
Sure.
Well, we had a long discussion, you know, last meeting, of course, and we had both sides here, and they both had legitimate points. The neighbor's point, I think, was that the zone was very vague. It's site-specific. And the only really good point that the Hops had is that you don't want a stagnant zoning thing if you want to get business in here. So a couple of towns got brought up, and one of them was Shelton. So I took the opportunity when I looked at Shelton's regulations for this zone. They've been using it since 2006. They've been very successful. They use it in all different parts of the town. And it was very wordy. It was 4,800 words. But I just sat down, I looked at it, and I was able to whittle off 800 words, you know, no problem. And I think it addressed a lot of what citizens were concerned about. It gave a lot of guidelines to the commission on what our responsibilities are to the town. When we look at these, it gave guidelines to the applicant, you know, some what they have to make. And I just think it was well written, and if we were going to consider it, that we should take a good look at their application and try to apply to us.
I think what you're saying too, and you brought up a good point. I think, Rich, you said the same thing too. There's no meat to this.
No.
You know, and that's what Al's brought up. He redid some of the Shelton regulations, said, okay, here's actually, you know, what you can do and can't do in here, and here's some meat to this overlay or text change. So if you're going to apply, you have to meet these certain things to apply if we're going to expand it throughout the town. So we went from having too much into it to having too little, but somewhere in the middle, there's got to be something, a happy medium that fits Derby as opposed to Shelton. But there's more detail in it.
Right. And
after reading through it.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be most contentious and controversial zone if we adapt it for the thing. So the more information we have, I think the better. The more precise we are with it, we're giving it leeway.
Right.
So that everybody knows going in what some of the rules are, you know, what some of the guidelines are.
And again, my biggest concern was addressing the public's problems that they have existing, because again, if we do nothing and walk away, nothing changes at all, and we have no control, and they have no other avenue, correct me if I'm wrong, to do anything with that because of the existing nonconformity. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure we made that clear. All right. Any other comments from any commission members? No. We can direct a bit. All right. Right. Okay. So, again, I think, Vince, we gave you a lot of stuff.
I'd like to see Al. You have an extra copy of it?
Right.
Okay.
To take a look at. Barbara, for a legal discussion or decision on about
the
this,
non-conforming.
The non-conforming, et cetera. And I think it's something we can continue to deliberate next month, because as is, it's not happening. Okay? And it may be, again, at the end of the month, we can put enough in it to take care of everybody's concerns, or we can't get there, and then we just deny it and do something on our own and present our own application where we can say, okay. But then again, we can't force the applicant to come in and to apply using that zone. We could strongly suggest they do that, but we can't force them to do that.
This, Al, if you were to look at, just take a quick look at this, if you were to look at Southbury, I think you would probably, and their PDU, which is a small project under 5 acres, and PDD, I think you would find similar language to this. Tony Panico wrote this.
What I liked about this too was if you can make the zone actually smaller for the downtown area, where you have small parcels.
Yeah. Well, if you're going there, then I think we need to really think about that some more. You really need to think about it. And that piggybacks onto the discussion on the last applicant.
Right.
So where else can it go?
Right.
What's appropriate?
Right.
For a PDD, and when could it be applied? Now, this particular applicant here is looking at it for sort of these transitional zones. That's a whole big discussion.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a
this could ask, by the way.
We have to do something on this? 65 days after we close the public hearing? So we can get us to next month. Okay. All right, mandatory action date, 65 days after close of the public hearing, correct?
I agree.
Okay, so we're at 30. We can get to, well, we only had this 2 weeks ago. So
right.
We can get to the next month, and then we can figure out what to do from then, and based on what findings you both have when you come back before the commission. We could always schedule another special meeting. We can always.
12-6 at the MAD.
Thank you. Maybe if I looked at the document Vince passed out, I would know that. Thanks, Rich.
You can thank Ryan.
I can thank Ryan for being so diligent. Thank you. So again, the commission, is that what we directing the?
I think we should
let them go and figure it out, and then let's see what they come back with, and we'll see if we have something to work with or not.
Yeah.
Because as stated, we don't.
To see what we can,
right,
their information, see what we can put together and,
okay,
come up with something.
Okay. All right. We need a motion for that. Yeah. But we just directed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Motion to adjourn. All right, motion to pay bills. You have one. If found correct?
Found correct.
Okay. Motion to adjourn? Okay. One. Okay.